Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, international speaker, psychotherapist, career coach, and author, Dr. Tony Gagliardi.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Maria De La Vega and the Wayward Five. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been so excited about this show. Couldn't wait for this conversation to finally happen. I have had such a pleasure reading through some of our guests' newsletters as she frequently references her Italian heritage and some of the wisdom she gained from the heritage. And I think I've learned a lot from my Italian heritage, but when we get to talk on this level or get to have somebody of her caliber talk about some of those experiences and lessons, it just really resonates with me. And I know with so many of her corporate clients and for that matter, I've watched groups of people on video really resonate with what she is sharing from that Italian experience heritage that she draws on. And I bring that up for a couple reasons. That's one of the things that we have in common. Another thing is something called a near-death experience. And so without going too much into the story and looking for signs, quote unquote. But I remember having some things happen to me while I was working for IBM, which at the time was about, I think, the top three of the top 500 companies in the world. So I remember going through some things where I got really sick, and then this happened, and then I got into a little traffic accident, then I got into another traffic accident, and then I landed myself in the hospital when I totaled my car and rolled and all that stuff. And our guest is nodding her head right now. She's like, she knows where this is going because she sees the signs. Well, I never was taught to look at signs like that. And so I remember coming out of the hospital, and my godfather, who was also my uncle and Italian from Italy or Sicilian, said to me, he said, "You need to look at your life because there's something you're not doing right." And I thought, duh, I'm getting into accidents. That's not right. And of course, he meant something entirely different. Like, examine your life because the signs are there. And I thought, that's something I never heard of. And it kind of went over my head, or it kind of went like, what is that supposed to mean? I live a good life. And then I went on to have other things happen until I got the message. And so getting the message is something that our guest talks about, works with people one-on-one with, and groups, and in her book and all of that. So and also from the Italian-American heritage perspective. So I can't wait to dig into this conversation with our guest, Dr. Tony Gagliardi. And this is a special day because we've got a band in that is very near and dear to my heart. I'll share why a little later on the show. But it's Maria De La Vega and the Wayward Five, live here in the studio, all on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones, on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Okay, we're back and we're ready to go. I am Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, I've been thinking of that song, I Saw the Signs, opened up my eyes. I saw the signs. Took a while, but I saw them.
You're talking about car accidents, and my signs were market crashes.
Oh, right. So, that's right.
So it never like thought about it. All I've been doing is watching signs and looking at my life.
So, wow, yeah, and losing poignant. Lots of money with all those.
And friends and identities and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So so-called friends.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. You know, it's funny, while I was sharing this and I saw Dr. Tony shaking her head, like nodding yes, and I thought, she could help me with that. It's like, yeah. It's like, we could have helped you with that. But here we are helping each other and everybody that is here that can listen. That's why we've called the show. And I love this because this comes directly out of Dr. Tony Gagliardi's messaging. Shifting from disastering to mastering. She is an international speaker, a transitions expert, a trailblazing psychotherapist, an author, and a career coach. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tony Gagliardi.
Great to be here.
Great to have you. So, okay, so the nodding. Yeah. Certainly, you wanted to say something about that.
Well, car accidents have to do with, cars have to do with how we move through life.
Oh.
You know? And so often I've seen in my own life in my 20s, and I've seen it with clients, with you, it was a market crash, that something has to stop us from moving through life in the way we've been moving through life. Mm. In my particular case, I had 3 car accidents in a 6-day period. And in every single incident, I was being pushed forward. And that was a metaphor that I needed to move forward in my life and get out of the marriage I was in and the career I was in. You know, I was a very traditional psychotherapist at that time. And out of all of this happening in my life, I broke open into learning more about healing modalities such as shamanism and things that really informed a shorter-term way of working with people. Astrology is a part of my work now, you know, a way of looking at what is the soul contract of this individual. What have you come here to give, to learn? You know, what is your passionate purpose?
So you saw, or did you see the signs?
Not at the time. Mm. Not initially. Now I look for them. I call them divine coincidences. Where am I being guided? That's why I created a model for helping people master change. Because there are a couple of stages that precede a crisis. And if you make the changes then, you don't have to hit the wall. And that's what I'm passionate about, helping people not have to hit the wall before they make a change.
We'll get into this a little later, but I do know that I think the first stage is something like so subtle, so mundane.
Right, boredom. On the emotional tone scale, with ecstasy at the top and despair at the bottom, boredom is a transition emotion. So when you start to feel bored with what you're doing in your work, with your marriage, with your exercise routine, it's time to change something up. And what often people do is they start self-medicating. They eat a little more. They, you know, are on the internet a little bit more. I started having an extra glass of wine at dinner, you know. So it was self-medicating because I was drained at the end of a day of seeing patients all day long in this traditional modality that takes forever for people to actually make any changes. And I was self-medicating. So if you don't do something at that point, then you go into a clinical depression. And that's what stage 2 is. So, but if you make changes, if you start to actually take action, you move up from boredom. You move up the emotional tone scale and you can take action. But most people don't. They keep self-medicating through all kinds of ways of addiction. And then they start spiraling down. And that's when the depression hits.
Is blaming other people part of that?
Can be, certainly. That your circumstances, your mother, your spouse.
It's not my fault.
You know, right. And when you do take the victim posture, it will only disempower you.
So like in my case, my uncle saying, or my godfather saying to me, you know, look at your life. And I'm like, you know, what's wrong with you? My life's fine. So that was denial or not being able to understand what I'm supposed to look for. What does that mean kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And speaking of what does that mean? So that's from an Italian, an old Sicilian.
Yeah.
How we have to get into this. How does that play in your life?
So the Italian piece came because my grandmother, you know, who my father was born in Italy and my grandmother is clearly born in Italy, and she had had to survive the loss of her mother as a child. She lost a child at 19. She came to America. Her husband died, you know. She didn't speak the language, you know, all kinds of losses, yet she stayed very buoyant.
And this was probably at a time when Italians weren't accepted in this country.
Well,
or not wanted.
Yeah, it was the 30s.
Yeah.
So
okay, there, yeah.
They were the black version,
yeah.
You know, of what came in the 40s and 50s. So I started looking at the neuroscience of change mastery. And one of the things that the research shows is that people who have high oxytocin, and oxytocin is the bonding hormone. It's what helps you to stay connected. When you're connected to someone, emotionally connected to a more or one or more people, mm-hmm. your oxytocin levels go up. People who have an infrastructure of support, like the Italians do, and if you go to Italy, they'll welcome you into their home even though they don't even know you, that there are practices that I noticed within the Italian culture that really support oxytocin. So when you're getting support, when you're getting support while you're going through a change, it actually creates more resilience. We know that oxytocin, high levels of oxytocin, leads to greater adaptability. People are more adaptable in the face of change. And when I talked to about this theory I had with a friend of mine who's from Italy, she's from Venice, she said, of course. She said, you know how many we've been, you know, pillaged, we've, you know, had wars, you know, on our territory over and over again. Italians have, you know, recessions like up the yin-yang. We've had to be resilient. And I said, but I think it's more than that. You know, I think it's there's something in the culture, the food, all of these things increase serotonin, you know, the family orientation. So I interviewed 13 Italian CEOs to see if it translated into the company ethos, and found every single one. And they were American-born Italians to Italian-born Italians to both men and women. There were CEOs. So there was across the board, they all said, yes, that their Italian culture, these were successful companies. I only interviewed successful companies. I had successful bottom lines, and they all said they felt their Italian culture definitely influenced the success of the company because they cared about their people. If one of them had a sick child, they made sure that they, you know, took off work and, you know, were taken care of, you know. So there is, I think, in that culture, which makes everybody more loyal, you know, you will find coworkers having each other's back. So all of that was part of what I was looking at, what helps people master change. So this became one more piece.
Wow. Actually, before we go to break, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but you know, I was watching a video of you and you said something about grazie. And then the video cut off and I'm like, oh, so I forgot to ask you before the show. So do you mind sharing real quickly?
Yeah, sure. Of course I'd have it. Love to.
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. So grazie, of course, means thank you.
In Italian, right.
Right. Grazia means grace.
Yes.
So it's paying attention to where is the grace showing up in my life and being in gratitude. So that's one of the things that is very Italian. You know, at least in the Italian culture I came from, there was a lot of gratitude, a lot of I was raised to, you know, to be grateful for whatever I was given, you know. And my grandmother, who had no education, lived very simply her whole life, was the most grateful person. And that also makes you resilient. The more you see the grazia in your life, the more you will say thank you, grazie, to the universe. So I use those, you know. And I love the other expression that I love that's Italian is tutto bene.
Tutto bene.
Whenever things are, you know, challenging and you're going through something, you say tutto bene, which means all is well, you know? And that will shift your perception, and that makes you more resilient.
Okay, we're going to move on to something else, but there is another one that you say a lot too, and that's abbondanza.
Abbondanza, yes.
Do you want to explain that one?
Abbondanza means abundance. It means, and it's a kind of attitude. When you are generous, when you're a generous spirit, everybody benefits, including you. When you're in abbondanza, all of your neurotransmitters will go up. Your serotonin, everything, your hormones, all will be more balanced.
And when you're in grazia.
So they're all connected.
Wow.
So the grazia and the grazie create the abbondanza.
I have a whole series of new taglines for our show working out.
Nice. I like it. We should create a sauce.
Yes. Why not?
Because it's in there,
yeah.
Abundanza. So it was used for a sauce commercial, but it's so much more.
Yes.
And so thank you for bringing that to light. Well, when we come back, we'll learn a little bit more about Dr. Tony and also get into, is it seven steps or
seven stages, yeah.
Seven stages that she outlines in her book, The Lifequake Phenomena, and then the book is going to be re-released as just Lifequake, mm-hmm. right? Okay, mm-hmm. but in either case, mm-hmm. Lifequake, which is like what we've experienced, like your three accidents all one by one, and actually several other things in your mm-hmm. life. And then I was talking about that accident that landed me in the hospital. This was like a Lifequake. I love that term, like an earthquake. This is mm-hmm. a Lifequake. I never thought about it that way. So when we come back, we're going to have more of that conversation and a little later on, live music in the studio with Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five, all on the Life Changes Show after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Dan Millman, The Green Children, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Dr. Tony Gallardi. We were just starting to talk about her book, Lifequake, and it begs the question, what is a lifequake?
The distinction between lifequake and a crisis, most people think when they hear the word lifequake, they think, oh, crisis, is that it's the soul waking up. So when, and dependent on how aware and awake you are to needing to make changes in your life, will determine how much disruption needs to happen in your life.
Oh, wow.
So I think of, you know, because we came from the earth, Mother Earth, we evolved from Mother Earth, she truly is our mother, that we are literally like little Earths with all of these layers around our core. And I think of the core as our soul. And then there are all these programs that we're layered on top of, faulty programs, family programs, cultural programs, the matrix that we've all bought into. And when an individual's authentic self wants to start expressing itself, it will start to move through the pressure from the soul to be your true self now. We'll start to move through those fault lines and create this big disruption. You know?
Now, does that happen at a different time for everybody?
Yeah. Again, you're depending on your awareness. Some people, they see them, they're bored with, you know, what they're doing, and they're able to say, you know what, I don't want to do, this isn't fun anymore, so I'm going to do something else. But for most people,
so they can change their life without having to have
right.
to have, okay.
Right. But most people fear change, and they wait until it gets bad. So by the time most of my clients come to me, they're miserable in their jobs, you know. Perhaps their marriage, their relationship, some, you know, they've just been betrayed in some way, you know, either by the company or by a spouse. Mm. And and they're in a lot of pain, a lot of pain. So my job is to help someone literally take the pieces to not, it's not about negating your past. It's about taking the gold, you know, of that, of what worked, but can be put and restructured into a new form.
So your job is actually twofold, because you do that, and then you try and help them see for the next time.
That's right.
Because this is always going to happen. Our life is always going to change.
Right.
So speaking of the next time, so a couple of more steps would be great. So the first one is boredom.
Right.
Which I wouldn't have expected. And it's subtle. People, it's like, you know, they're bored. Well, so what? But so what? That's a big sign. Mm-hmm. And then they go into depression. Mm-hmm. You're saying clinical depression, but it's...
You know, it's not necessarily a clinical depression.
Right.
For some, it becomes a clinical depression. For some, it's an existential depression, which is more like, what's the meaning of my life? They're questioning in that nothing really has that shakti, that energy anymore for them. In their lives. And so if they continue to self-medicate, which is what you see a lot, you know, I'm also in the addiction field, so I do a lot of treatment consulting, is that when people just keep self-medicating, they spiral down further, and then a car accident happens, they get cancer, you know, somebody walks out on them, something that just, that's what stage three is, the massive crisis that makes you wake up finally. You know, and then that what follows that is the cosmic barbecue. So that's stage four.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to talk about the cosmic barbecue. But before we go into that, the people that don't, quote unquote, self-medicate, they're maybe workaholics, or they just kind of do the same thing.
That's a kind of self-medication.
Which you know, don't think of it that way.
People who don't self-medicate are people who meditate, who are connected to their dreams. This is what I help people to do.
Oh, that's on the positive side.
Right. You know, someone who is really in tune with their higher self, with their intuition, will see the signs. They'll start to see the synchronicities coming into their life that are showing them, okay, this cycle's ending. It's knowing when to exit the stage, you know.
And they'll self-meditate.
And so say self-meditate. That's good.
That is really
I love it.
You heard it here first. Coin it.
Yeah. love it. Do you meditate?
I do.
Oh, beautiful.
I do. It's made a big difference.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in between the tremors.
In between the tremors?
Since we were talking about breaks, I was wondering if the tremors are the chaos that goes on around them. So.
Well, they can make the tremors... more readable, so that you're actually paying attention. Like, okay, what is this showing me? Mm-hmm. Where do I need to change it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
It does make perfect sense. And I also, I noticed a shift in you where you went into like a psychic mode or something, like you tuned in to Mark and started to go down that route. And I thought, oh, of course, because she does, you do that in your in your work, you do that. And and then your last words reminded me that, you know, what's happening with what you're describing here with Mark, you also see on a global scale. Can we talk about that?
Sure. So this is a personal change model that's meant to take you from mastering your fear of your change in your own life to becoming an activist. So once you've mastered personal change, then it's about becoming an agent of change in the world. Mm. And activism can take place in the smallest way. You know, sometimes I know of a client who is bedridden, cannot leave the house. And what she does is like just gives money to a lot of, you know, causes she believes in, or, you know, the, you know, political party that, you know, is doing things that she believes in. So activism can happen for anybody. You don't have to be out in the world like a Jane Fonda. You know, that's one kind of call. But it doesn't require that, you know, for the average person to make a difference in the world. You know, really, Gandhi was right. You know, if you are the change, you create the change in the world.
So do you see the world? Or I know you do. So how do you describe it? Is the world going through these same seven?
Absolutely. We're in a massive acceleration. There's a shift in consciousness and a speed up, which is causing, why is causing so much breakdown? Why suicide rates have gone through the ceiling? Why, you know, depression, you know, has gone, addiction treatment facilities are, you know, filling up like crazy.
And you said the bars are filling up, I think, right?
Right. Alcohol, addiction, all of that is the fallout for those who are not choosing to wake up. Because we're in this massive world change on an evolutionary level. Our bodies are changing. That's why we're drinking more water, why we're eating more organic food, why people are much more conscious. And you go to the South and you're seeing this, you know. So there's an awareness that is shifting. And if you don't, it's like if you don't get on this, you know, wagon and meditate, learn to meditate, learn to get in touch with your inner self. What does my life want to be now? The world is going to, there's no sustainability in the, on this planet. There will not be a sustainability. So it begins with being in touch with what is my passion. And that's what my work is, helping people get in touch with what their passion is.
Well, I want to get to the barbecue, but before, and this is, but before the barbecue, along these lines, you see good coming.
I absolutely do. Yeah. It's already here. It's already here. The awareness that people are in, the you know, being this awake, this, I mean, look at millennials. They are so much more aware. They want their lives from their 20s to have purpose. They don't want to be in a job that's just making them money, you know?
They don't want to wait to retire.
That's right. Whereas the previous generation would go through what's called a midlife crisis. They would have been in the workforce for 20 years and then gone, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, it's happening with this other generation, much younger. So there are like three different types of clients I work with. You know, one is the Act Three client, which is like 60 and, you know, has been doing this job that they don't, you know, they don't want to retire. They can't afford to retire, but they want to do something else now that they've got their 401k and blah, blah, blah. Then there's that midlife person, but there's also the millennial who are now 3 to 4 years out of college, whom I work with because their parents send them to me, who have a college degree, and they still don't know what they want to do, and they don't want to do just anything. So they're a more sophisticated group in terms of really wanting to do something that has meaning and purpose.
Wow. What a way to look at it. So talk about ways to look at it. This cosmic barbecue, normally I think of barbecues as a fun thing. Is this a fun thing? Or is this a barbecue I don't want to come to?
It's why I'm calling it the cosmic barbecue, to paint a pretty bow on it. Because what it really, you know, when I, in the chapter I get into it, that once you are in the limbo stage where the life that you had has collapsed, but you don't know what you're doing next, and you're that in that in-between stage. You've kind of shoved off from the river, and you're out in, you know, the middle of the water, and you want to paddle back, but there's no paddling back. Yeah. You just have to literally go through this stage where you don't know what's next. And when a client comes in to see me at this stage, I tell them, this is not the time, because stage 5 and 6 are about that. It's not the time to be designing the new life. It's about working with your shadow. In this time when you're not busy anymore, outwardly focused, this is the time to be looking at what are the personality characteristics that have that got in my way, that were part of the faulty foundation, perhaps that I was raised with, that are limiting beliefs that are no longer serving me. So the more you get in touch with this and you gut out all of the shadow aspects, then you'll be ready. Then you'll be ready to design a new life.
Tony, it sounds like we are the barbecue. Like we're on a spit and we're being turned around over coals.
Yeah, it can feel, it really, when the ego is being purified, it feels like you're on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to go to the barbecue.
It doesn't, is that something you want to go to? You don't volunteer to go to this one. It happens to you. Yeah. But it's part of, you know, Jung talked about transmutation of lead into gold.
Yeah.
So the leaded consciousness of whatever was keeping you asleep in your addictive mold has to wake up to discover and to start taking risks. So one of the things I talk about in this chapter is taking risks that you were afraid to take before. Emotional risks, physical risks. For me, I was always an emotional risk taker, so that wasn't an issue. But physical risk taking, not so much. So I did things like bungee jumping, paragliding, things that scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
And but it broke open my box, you know, to do things that scared me. And so what's one of the things that I really encourage people to do is do things that, you know, step into the fear.
Yeah.
You know, become bold.
And of course I understand that, and I've been there many times, and it, and I'm glad we're having this conversation because it helps people with the notion that just because you're saying no to something doesn't mean that what you're saying yes to is like right there.
Right.
Sometimes you have to be able to release all that no stuff in order for the answer to come for the yes. It doesn't necessarily just come the day you say no to this.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up. And we'll have a few more minutes with Dr. Tony Gagliardi. I knew it just wouldn't be enough. But it's so good. We'll have a few more minutes with her, and then but you could have all the time you want with her, and you can connect with her. Actually, a little later on, we're going to give her cell phone number, actually, where you can text her or you can call her. But in the meantime, her website is drtonygagliardi.com, and Dr. Dr. Tony, T-O-N-I, and Gagliardi, G-A-L-A-R-D-I, drtonygagliardi.com. Of course, you can always get her information on our LifeChangesShow.com page as well. We'll be right back, more with Dr. Tony. Dorothy will be joining us for an Ask Dorothy segment, and we're going to have Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five here live on the Life Changes Show shortly, right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Dr. Tony Gagliardi. And what a conversation we've had. And there is so much more that we could talk about. Of course, we've just touched a little bit on her book, Lifequake, which you could get on her website and where books are sold. But there's another component, which is actually kind of fairly new, and that's the astrology, which we don't have time to spend a lot of time on. But how does that fit in?
Well, it really helps when someone is in that adrift, you know, when they come to me and they're adrift about what do I do with my life? What I just, you know, worked with a couple clients today who are in that transition. They're just out of college. And so what astrology does is it helps me to show them what their soul contract is, where their strengths are, you know, where their vocational strengths are, where their health weaknesses are, timing, like when to take action, when is the time to make that call, you know, for a job interview or for getting a creative project out there, days not to do things, you know, there are things called void of course of the moon days, Mercury retrograde periods, that when you do things during those times, contracts tend to unravel. So having that information is very important as you're going through this, especially stage four, you know, where you really do not know what's up and down. So astrology is a part of what I call the soul blueprint. And I work with, that's the first thing I do, is do that workup with the client.
So looking at the big picture of our lives, actually, is what you're all about.
Right.
And these are all elements of the big picture.
And I look at this on a world level as well. Yeah, you know, like what's happening astrologically on a world level.
And so, I love it. And you're still positive about
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, okay. I am. I am.
Well, if you're positive that you want to know more about Dr. Toni Gagliardi, you can go to her website, Dr. Toni, T-O-N-I, Gagliardi, GALARDI.com. She does coaching, teleclasses, telesummits, all kinds
speaking.
Of things, but one-on-one. And then people can call you directly?
Mm-hmm.
And the number is?
310-890-6832.
And that's a cell number so they can text you as well, right?
Yeah, and if you just Google LifeQuake, you'll come to, there's two pages of on me that will just take you right to my website.
But, oh, well, yeah. I'm so grateful that whatever it was took us right, took you right here to us.
Thank you so much, Filippo. This has been so much fun.
And we knew it. We kept talking on the phone and we knew it. We couldn't wait. And may there be more. Thank you so much, Dr. Toni Gagliardi. Grazie.
Yes, grazie. Prego.
And with that, now we move into our Ask Dorothy segment. Mark?
We do. Dorothy, my name is Jamie, and I live in New York City and work as a life coach. I find that often my clients are continuously lying to themselves, and I just don't understand why they do this, especially since they are paying me to coach them. I tell all of my clients up front that the truth will be shared in our sessions, and too many that I tell this to cancel their sessions with me. Although I have lied to myself many times in the past, I do my best to be as honest with myself as possible and want to assist others in doing the same. Recently, a prospective client said she couldn't see me because I have asked her to be truthful. How can I make these people see that the truth will set them free?
Jamie, this is a great question, and I encountered this same challenge with many clients. I've discovered that most people lie in an attempt to make them look better to others than they believe they would look if they were to be totally honest. Often I find that people don't think they could handle the truth because that would lead to change in their lives. And although change is the only constant in our world, most humans resist it tremendously. I feel that they have found a way to be comfortably miserable and that they fear what they would have to do differently if they were to admit to themselves what is really going on. I do my best to share with my potential clients that in the past I lied to myself about almost everything for way too many years because it was too painful for me to do what I needed to have done to change my situation. However, once I was forced to make a more elegant choice in my personal life, I set myself free and am so thrilled and grateful that I made an honest and truthful decision that helped me become the best me I can be. I have found that potential clients often feel more comfortable in looking at their own stuff with me once I admit to having lied to myself in the past. I also let them know that in order for me to help them solve their life issues, truth must be told. I believe that by admitting to my less than elegant choices in the past helps them feel safe to have a session with me. I trust you will find a way to reassure your prospective clients while telling them the truth is the only way any of us can facilitate positive changes in our lives.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And with that, we will be right back with our musical guest, Maria de la Vega, and the Wayward Five here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Dr. Tony Gagliardi. And joining us in the studio, I'm so excited, is a jazz and blues singer and her band, Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five. Before I tell you why I'm so excited, please welcome Maria de la Vega. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Filippo. We're glad to be here. Very glad to be here.
And I am happy to have you here. First of all, love you and your music and love the band. So, 15, 20 years ago?
Yes.
Right? So when I first moved to Los Angeles and started a band singing Italian songs at Italian events, who was my musical director? Well, the musical director for Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five, Jameson Trotter, who's here today.
It's amazing to still know you and to see you after all these years. And you look exactly the same.
This is very special. You do too. But life has changed for you. You have a beautiful wife and a beautiful child, or is it two?
Just one.
Just the one. Okay.
One and done.
All right. He seems like two because he's all over. Well, and who's talking over there is somebody else that I've had the pleasure of working with, Mark Sanfilippo.
Hi, Filippo. Nice to see you, brother.
Mark, great to... It's like old home week now. I haven't gotten to work with the bass player, who is Gabe Davis, but Gabe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you all here. This is very exciting. And I know the vibe that you all put out, and Maria, more power to you. Actually, let's talk about this for just a moment because, you know, Dr. Gagliardi was talking about seeing the signs. Now, you weren't one who said, I'm going to be a singer, a soloist someday. So what signs did you have to see to be here?
It's interesting because I come from a choral, a cappella, classical background and was always used to just fitting in, right? You know, creating a pure sound
with a group.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But I have these memories when I was younger, growing up in Santa Barbara, listening to these blues bands playing and hearing like Bonnie Raitt, and like, you know, which is not the music that I do now, but hearing their commitment to the sound and that guttural sort of just putting it all out there kind of thing. And I know, like, I had a feeling kind of in my gut that was, I didn't know what it was, to be honest with you, but I was feeling it, like physically, which is an odd little private thing. I don't know. But and then years later, I'm doing this, you know, little by little, fell into it. And now I realize in hindsight that was that voice a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that now I'm kind of making, and doing it, I guess. I don't know how to say
it. Asked you to put on a, you know, do a show, right?
Oh, yes. That's right. So I was, there's a restaurant in Beverly Hills, a famous chef, Wolfgang Puck, asked me to sing for New Year's Eve and knew that I could sing. And it was sort of their piano player had quit. And so he said, you know, you can sing, Maria. I'm like, oh, yes, chef, yes, I can. But I'm a choir singer. Why are you asking me to do this? And so I found a piano player, and I did like 2 hours of music just singing with a piano player.
Uh-huh.
And it was strange having a microphone, but I got used to it. And then a year later, they asked me to do it
again. So you didn't do it again until a year later?
No. And then they said, oh, come on, you should do Valentine's. And then my piano player at the time said, well, let's bring in a bass player.
Oh.
And that was it. It clicked, and I went, oh.
And it organically grew.
That's that thing. And then I said, hey, I think I could book gigs. Let's make a band. Let's do this. And then it just kind of took off after that.
Well, and then organically, Jameson Trotter came along. And then
yes, he
Mark
did.
Sanfilippo. And then
Mr. Davis.
Uh-huh. And here we are. Well, and here we are. So let's get to it. What do we get to hear?
Well, this is a song that was written in 1918, I'm pretty sure.
It was a long time ago.
Okay. It was over 100. It's about 100 years old, actually. It was 1918.
Right.
It's called After Nice. You've Gone.
Yes.
A lot of artists have done it over the years, and sometimes we refer to it as the breakup song.
Did you also rewrite some of these lyrics for this?
A little bit, yes. There are some songs that got little lyrics that got rewritten, and it's also on our album, by the way.
Right, which actually I missed the party for the release party, which was like a month ago or something, right?
That's okay, because we have another one coming up.
Great.
At the Crescent Hotel.
Okay, nice.
In Beverly Hills.
You'll let me know.
I will.
Okay.
Next month.
So, all right, but in the meantime, the album is out, and
yes,
it's called
Here's to Life.
Here's to Life. That's a song, isn't it? If not, it should be.
Trust me.
All right. So with that, here is Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five performing After You've Gone live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Now listen, honey, while I say, how could you tell me that you're going away? Don't say that we must part. Don't you break my sweet, sweet heart. You know I loved you for so many years. I loved you night and day. Can't you see me over here? I'm crying my eyes out. Listen to what I say. After you've gone, left me crying. After you're gone, there's no denying. You feel blue, you feel sad, 'cause you lost the best thing that you ever had. There'll come a time, don't you forget it. There'll come a time, you will regret it. Someday, when you are lonely, your heart will break like mine. You'll want me only after you've gone, after you've gone away. Oh, and after you're gone, gonna have some fun. After you've gone, now that we're done, gonna drink wine and sing my songs. Tell all your friends how you done did me wrong. There'll come a time, don't you forget it. There'll come a time, you will regret it. Someday, when you are lonely, your heart will break like mine. You'll want me only after you've gone, after you're gone away. Break like mine, you'll want me
Nice. Maria Vega, or Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five. You know, after you've all gone, this song is going to stay with me. And if you want to take the Wayward Five and Maria de la Vega with you, go to Wayward Five. Wayward, WayWardFive.com. You know, today is June the 11th, 2018. Now, the song was written in 1918, so you're right,
100 years ago,
by Turner Layton and Henry Creamer. And interestingly, Marian Harris recorded it July 22nd. That's a month and 11 days from now.
Wow.
So my theory is it was actually written today, 100 years ago, given to Marian. It took that long for her to learn it and to get the studio and all that stuff. So how perfect. I mean, cosmically amazing. Thank you, Maria de la Vega, for bringing that into this today. So what else are we going to get to hear? Oh, wait, is that, that's on the album, right?
It is on the album,
And what's the album called again?
Here's to Life.
Why do I keep thinking that's a song? All right, so
it is. It's a good one.
What's you know what? Are you all going to do an after show thing? Okay, so for those of you who are listening to this live, we got a really special treat going on here. That after the show, and after we take pictures and all that stuff, then y'all are going to come back and you're going to do another song, which we're going to be able to include on the archive version, which that's going to be really special. So that's a surprise. We don't know what that's going to be yet. But what's this one? What'd you say?
La Cunyata.
La Cunyata. Okay. Yes. So what's this one that we're going
to
hear?
This next song is a song that Billie Holiday used to sing.
Uh-huh.
And it is called Ain't Nobody's Business If I Do.
Ain't Nobody's Business If I Do. Now, that's not really correct English, right? So do you mind if we fix that? You change lyrics.
Taint so. Nobody's Business.
Did she say taint?
Actually.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. All right. So, well, here we go. Actually, I just want to mention everybody's name again. We got Maria de la Vega on vocals. We've got Jameson Trotter on piano. We've got Gabe Davis on bass. Nice. And we've got Mark Sanfilippo on drums. Oh, sorry, I said that at the Italian way. Mark Sanfilippo. And with that, here is Ain't Nobody's Business If I do. Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five singing Ain't Nobody's Business If I Do, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Nothing I can do, nothing I can say. Folks won't criticize me, 'cause I'm going to do the best I can do anyway. And I don't care what people say. If I should take a notion to jump into the big blue ocean, it ain't nobody's business if I do. I'm gonna go to church on Sunday, watch me cabaret all day on Monday. It ain't nobody's business if I do.
Come on, J-Mo.
Thank you. if my man ain't got money. I say, come on, take all of mine, honey. It ain't nobody's business if I do. If I should give him my last little nickel, it's gonna leave me in a little bitty pickle. No, it ain't nobody's business if I do. No, I'd rather that my man would hit me than for him to get up and quit me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five. I have to say, the song was originally, Maria, you were right. I thought you were kidding. Mm-mm. Originally was... go ahead and say it, because
written in
well, it was 1922,
taint. Oh,
but
taint, yeah,
right?
Taint, oh, yeah,
taint
yeah, yes.
Nobody's yes. business mm-hmm. with a Z. Mm-hmm. Business if I do. So then, in 1922. On June the 11th, no, I'm kidding about that part. But it was sung by Anna Myers, backed by the original, this is what they were called, Original Memphis Five.
Oh.
And we have the Wayward Five performing it. The original Wayward Five. and I need to say this actually before we go. I've worked with a lot of bands before, and so many of them have been so great as a singer. And I've gotten a lot of compliments, people coming up to the stage saying, hey, you're really good, your band's really good, and all that stuff. But Jameson is the only pianist I've ever worked with, only where people come up to me, they totally skip me, and they say, he's really good on the piano.
I can relate that.
Right?
Yes,
but this is true.
But who is that guy?
Exactly. Well, you know now why, and such an honor to have you all here, and Jameson, so great. That we, I love our friendship, and I look forward to what's next for us as well. So, more power to all of you. Once again, the website is wayward5.com. All right, what a pleasure. Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five. And once again, one last time, Jameson Trotter on the piano. We've got Mark Sanfilippo on the drums and Gabe Davis on bass. And now for that special moment that we talked about when we get to hear an extended song by Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five. This is a song called La Cañada. Here is Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo.
Such a good time. You are on find my way all the time when you are with me. In La Cañada, it's the best place to be. La Cañada in my soul. Oh, La Cañada, let's go to La Cañada, it's true.
Performing La Cañada. Wait, don't go. I have a question. First off, I have to say that Mark Sanfilippo did all that drum solo with just one drum, a snare drum, and just what are they called? Hi-hats or a hi-hat and a cymbal, or right? Is that a cymbal?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. No
drums.
No drums. No. Just a drum. Okay, so awesome. Good job.
Thank you.
And then. Is La Cañada the one like near Flint Ridge?
Yeah.
Is that what we're singing about?
JPL.
Is this what, really?
His husband works up there, and then after the fires, we felt very terrible for all of the people.
Victims of La Cañada.
We love it there.
I wonder, I didn't think to do research to see if there is a song La Cañada, because this could actually be the city's theme song.
It is. I think it might be.
No, it's La Canada.
Is it La Canada? What? And actually, Mark Sanfilippo reminded me that we not only worked a lot together, but that video of me out there doing Mambo Italiano with our friend Murphy. Chris Murphy, and that whole band that Mark Sanfilippo was playing the drums on that. So there's that. But there's so much more. There are videos of you, Maria, doing all kinds of stuff. And so go check these people out, wayward5.com. What a pleasure. Thank you all so much. And hope to see you all again soon.
We've had so much fun.
Thank you for being part of our after show.
Such a good time.
And with that is our our show. Thank you so much to you all, Maria de la Vega and the Wayward Five, and to our guest, Dr. Tony Gagliardi. What a special show it has been. On behalf of all of us here, we'd like to thank Brent Hahn, our technical director, for making us all sound so good.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of our executive, Dorothy Donahue, and our producer, Mark Lejeure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.